13th chapter. Amani
Tvam Madam Bitvam Ahimsa Kshanti Rarjavam Acharyopasanam Shaucham Sairyamatma Vinigraha Indriyartheshu Vairagyam Anahankara Evacha Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam Asaktirana Vishvanga Putradara Grihadishu Nityam cha samachittatvam Ishtanishtopapattishu Mai chananya yogena Bhakti ravya bhicharini Vivikta desha sevitvam Aratirjana samsadi Adhyatma jnana nityatvam Tatva jnana artha darshanam Eta jnana miti proktam Ajnanam yadatonyatha.
So we are seeing the last two. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam Tatva jnana artha darshanam. Accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. In the Vedanta, lot of verses and lot of time is spent in explaining the difference between the matter and spirit. The body and the soul. Somebody may think, why so much analytical study on the soul goes on when we talk about Vedanta? The reason is that the soul who is entangled in the material body, for him to develop a firm understanding that I am not the body, I am the soul, it is not very easy, even if one theoretically knows it. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paraha api manute anartam tattvadam chavipadyate. He is para, he is divine, transcendental, but he thinks of himself to be this material body. So, that's why he is saying here, importance of the... It's very loud now today, isn't it? So, the subject matter of Atma and the body, soul and the body, is not approached at all by many people. Prabhupada talks about how, in one of his conversations with Dr. Benforth, Prabhupada is talking about the usefulness of knowledge. I wanted to read some section of that. You can give the... I was trying to speak on this, but I would like to read some section. It will be very interesting to hear from Prabhupada directly. Prabhupada is asking, by scientific advancement, do you mean the advancement from bullock car to motor car? If you can advance from the stage of bullock car to the stage of fine mechanical arrangement of the motor car, you take it to be advancement of science, do you not? And Benford is saying, Dr. Benford, it's advancement of technology. And Prabhupada is saying, technology and science is the same thing. Our problem is advancement of the spirit soul. So what is the scientific knowledge about the spirit soul? And Dr. Benford is saying, there is virtually no scientific knowledge about the spirit soul. And then Prabhupada is saying, therefore there is actually no advancement of scientific knowledge. And then Dr. Benford argues, well, scientific knowledge is a different class of knowledge. Out of many different classes of knowledge, you may feel that one type of knowledge is better than another, but that's a different question. And then Prabhupada says, perhaps there are different departments of knowledge. For example, medical science, then Prabhupada goes talking about psychology, psychiatry, and metaphysics and all that. And then he's asking, the body and mind are simply the coverings of the spirit soul. Just as your body is covered by the shirt and coat. If you simply take care of the shirt and coat and neglect the person who is covered by the shirt and coat, do you think this is advancement of knowledge? So Prabhupada is arguing like this. So I'll come to a later point which Prabhupada is very interestingly. Again, Prabhupada comes to the knowledge. The Prabhupada is asking a question here. What is going to the moon? Prabhupada is saying, that is also sleeping. You go there and sleep and spend money, that's all. Otherwise, what can you do there? Dr. Benford is saying, you can go there and learn. And Prabhupada is saying, you go there and sleep, that's all. Sleeping, you are spending millions, you are spending billions and getting nothing in return. And Dr. Benford says, it seems worth more than that. That means it's worth spending more than billions, he's saying, to do space research. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, no, nothing more. Because these four principles of eating, sleeping, mating, defending are the background. If you have no knowledge beyond this body, you cannot go beyond this bodily category. You have no other jurisdiction of knowledge. It may be very gorgeous, polished bodily knowledge. But your whole range of activities is within these four principles of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. This knowledge is prevalent amongst the lower animals also. And Prabhupada says they know how to eat, how to sleep and all that. Then Dr. Benford is saying, but they don't know anything about nuclear physics. And Srila Prabhupada says, that does not mean that you are improved over the animals. It's the same thing, only polished, that's all. So Prabhupada would say, okay, you know nuclear physics to throw bombs. And animals are fighting with their teeth and claws, the same thing. And then Dr. Benford is saying, there is knowledge about the structure of the physical world. And then Srila Prabhupada says, but it is a waste of energy. Because in your activities, you cannot go beyond this bodily jurisdiction of eating, sleeping, waiting, defending. You may make a very nice apartment for sleeping. So Prabhupada explains all that. And then, therefore this gorgeous sleeping accommodation is simply a waste of time. And then Dr. Benford is asking a very important question. You seem to place emphasis on what knowledge does for you. You seem to be placing emphasis on what knowledge does for you. What about the sheer joy of discovering how nature works? For example, now we think that we understand matter like this. He shows a grass on which they were sitting. We think that we know from experiments, theory, analysis, that it is made up of particles that we cannot see. And we can analyze the properties of it through experiment. Like for example, if you take a grass, now you can talk about cytoplasm, protoplasm, nucleus and all that. You can't see it with eyes, but now you know through scientific study. We know that it is made up of molecules. We understand some of the forces that hold it together. And this is the first time we knew this. We didn't know it before. So in this way, Benford is saying in a very excited way. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, but what is the benefit? Although you know every particle of this grass, what benefit is derived out of it. The grass is growing. It will grow with or without your knowledge. You may know it or not know it, but it will not make any difference. Anything you like, you may study from a material analytical point of view. Any nonsense thing you take, you can study and study and compile a voluminous book. But what will be the use of it? So Prabhupada is again challenging, what will be the usefulness of that knowledge? That was unfortunate. I seem to view the world as, he's saying, Prabhupada says, suppose I take this grass, I can write volumes of books, when it came into existence, when it died, what are the fibers, what are the molecules. In so many ways I can describe this insignificant foliage. But what is the use of it? Dr. Benford. If it has no use, why did God put it there? Isn't it worthwhile studying? That means what is Dr. Benford's challenge? If God has put it there, that means just put it in front of us so that we may study about it. Otherwise, why did He put it there? If we are not able to eat it. Yeah. You also should tell them God has produced poison also. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying, our point is that you would rather study the insignificant grass than the God who has created everything. If you could understand Him, automatically you would study the grass. But you want to separate His grass from Him, to study it separately. In this way you can compile volumes and volumes on the subject. But why waste your intelligence in that way? A branch of a tree is beautiful as long as it is attached to the main trunk. But as soon as you cut it off, it will dry up. Therefore, what is the use of studying the dried up branch? It's a waste of intelligence. And then Benford is asking, but why is it a waste? Again he is asking. Srila Prabhupada is saying, certainly it's a waste, because the result is not useful. Dr. Benford is saying, well, then what is useful? And then Prabhupada is saying, it is useful to know yourself, what you are. And then Dr. Benford is asking, why is knowledge of myself better than the knowledge of a grass? And Prabhupada is saying, if you understand what you are, then you understand other things. That is called Atma Tattva. Atma Jnana, self-knowledge. That is important. I am a spirit soul and I am passing through so many species of life. But what is my position? I don't wish to die because I am afraid to change body. Therefore I am afraid of death. This question should be raised first. I don't want unhappiness, but unhappiness comes. I don't want death, but death comes. I don't want disease, but disease comes. I don't want to become an old man, but it comes anyway. What is the reason that these things are coming by force? Despite my desires to the contrary. I am forced. What is the force and why am I under this force? Who is enforcing these things? These things I do not know, but these are the real problems. I don't want excessive heat. I don't want excessive cold. I have to take shelter of electric technology, a refrigerator, cooler. Why? Who is enforcing these things? Why are they being enforced? And then Prabhupada is saying, these are real questions, not just the study of foliage, grass, and writing volumes of books. That is a waste of energy. Study yourself. You don't want suffering, but why is it forced upon you? Who is enforcing? These things you do not know. Dr. Benford is saying, is it worthwhile then to try to stop excessive heat, say, or disease? And Prabhupada is saying, you may want to stop the heat, but you cannot. Your scientific knowledge is not so perfect that you can stop the heat. Therefore, somebody is enforcing this. This is the right subject matter for thinking. Why am I being forced? So why can't you stop disease? Prabhupada is asking. You are scientifically advanced enough to manufacture nice medicine. Then why can't you stop the disease altogether? And then Dr. Benford is saying, we don't understand it well enough, he's saying. And then Prabhupada is saying, therefore you are a fool. As soon as you don't understand, you are a fool. Dr. Benford, can you stop yourself from being an old man? He's challenging Prabhupada. Still Prabhupada, not immediately, but you are undergoing the process to stop it. Just like a man who is being treated for some disease, he is still suffering, but the fact that he is being treated means that he is going to stop it. Dr. Benford, well, that is our aim also. We would like to stop disease and even stop death also. See, Dr. Benford is saying. And Prabhupada says, everyone would like to, but you are not practicing the real procedure for stopping it. That means what Benford is trying to say, by our scientific advancement, we will come to a stage where we will stop the old age and stop death. But Prabhupada is saying that you are not following the real procedure to stop it. But Dr. Benford, but I don't want to suffer. Why is this necessary? Srila Prabhupada, it is because of the laws of nature. We are stealing from Krishna, trying to enjoy independently of Krishna. Therefore, we are being punished. So in this way, it goes on. Very interesting conversation. Very relevant to our topic today. Yeah? So, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatva, that's the first thing. So why, Prabhupada says that you know, if you study the knowledge of the grass, independent of Krishna or God, then it is like studying a dried up branch. Studying a dried up branch. Like, you know, you see a tree branch coming. You know, it's green. It's, you know, showing flowers and fruits and everything because of its connection to tree. Now you are cutting off the branch and trying to say that I am studying this knowledge. So any knowledge you study independent of Krishna is useless. Yeah. Now here we come to a very important point of Jada Vidya. See, there are different types of knowledge. There is aparavidya, paravidya and avidya. Three things are there. Aparavidya. First we can talk about paravidya. What is paravidya? Study of the soul and study of God. Study of something that is conscious, chetan and living. So that is actually called as paravidya. Aparavidya is also given in the Vedas, like knowledge of Ayurveda, knowledge of Jyotisha Shastra, all these things, which are helpful for the well-being of body, mind and soul. And that is called as aparavidya. Avidya means jadavidya. Simply studying about dead atoms and molecules. That is considered the lowest knowledge, according to the Vedic explanation. Avidya is study of atoms and molecules, which we do very extensively in the modern times. Isn't it? Why is avidya so condemned, while the aparavidya and paravidya are appreciated? Because the knowledge of paravidya, or knowledge of the soul, God and the relationship, can elevate a person in his consciousness. And the aparavidya also helps you to have a healthy body and healthy mind in order to again provide you facility to study paravidya. Ultimately paravidya should be studied, which is also called as rajavidya or a Brahma Vidya. It's called by different names. The real knowledge that one should have. And the study of the living being, conscious living being. Whereas the unconscious dead matter that is covering upon the soul, study about that alone, only the body, is considered actually avidya. Prabhupada gives the example that this difference between God, soul and matter. Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. He says, if you take a doll, it's externally made up of matter. Internally also it's made up of matter. You take a man's body. So the body is externally made up of matter, but internally there is a soul. So it's a combination of spirit and matter. And you take the body of God, it is externally also made up of spirit, and internally also made up of spirit. Dehi Vedam Abedoyam, it is said, no? The Lord's body and the soul are non-different. So internally and externally, God's body is made up of spirit only. So the doll is made up of only matter, it's wholly made up of matter, and God's body is made up of wholly spirit. But the human being's body is made up of matter and spirit combination. So Prabhupada gives an example. So So one has to understand this combination of matter and spirit and understand the superiority of spirit over matter. Then one can begin to understand the difference. And study of the spirit is meaningful because the spirit is unchanging, eternal principle, around which the body is covering, which is always changing, ever changing. And that is why the scientific solutions are also ever changing. Scientific study is also ever changing. So they are uselessly wasting time in studying the changing principle rather than the unchanging principle, the spirit soul. So that's why this study of avidya is condemned in the scriptures very much, because material nature is personified by Durga or Durga Devi or Krishna's sister Maya Devi or Durga Devi. So the study of matter is such that when you try to study matter in order to manipulate it to make your life more easier and more comfortable, then the very same matter can lead to bondage. The word Durga, Durgama, means very difficult to cross over. The word English word also duress, durable. It comes from dur. Durable means what? Very strong, long lasting, isn't it? Duress also means the same, long lasting. So Durgama means very difficult to cross over. Durga means one whose forts have very tall walls, you cannot jump over easily. That's the meaning of Durga, very difficult. Then Krishna says that, what is that word? Daivi hesha gunamayi duratyaya. See the word dura. Dharatya word dura is duratyaya. Very difficult to cross over. So, if we take the matter, study it, and try to manipulate it, then we will see the very same matter becoming a source of trouble. You know, H.G. Wells is one of the fiction sci-fi writers. In one of his books, he writes called The Thinking Machine. How, in that book, he predicts that modern man, as he goes on inventing newer and newer machines, a time will come, he says, when he will become slave to the machines. The machines will rule over him, and they will control him. And that time is not far from here, where we are now. So, the manipulation of matter dominates man and makes him suffer. For example, the material energy, we have manipulated it for our comfort. Are we feeling comfort now? We are being troubled by the material energy. You can see that. So, beginning with the simplest examples of air pollution, noise pollution, and water pollution, and all the things around us. These are very simple examples, and we can give more complex examples also. How modern man, by manipulating matter, has made his life miserable. I heard in some of the software companies, some of the most leading companies like even Infosys, they have a medical division. Some people, while working in the computer, they collapse due to excessive stress, and immediately they are taken to the medical division for treatment due to excessive stress. You see? The man has made the computer, and he thinks that by manipulating computer I will make more money and do many things. And you can see now who is ruling whom. You can see that. Simple example. And you can give innumerable examples. How manipulation matter only causes more problems. Now Prabhupada says in the Ishvanishad beginning, you know, it's very important to understand this principle. Matter and spirit. Why is spirit considered superior to matter? Because the spirit can manipulate matter. Like man has manipulated matter and made this table. Mm-hmm. Yes, man manipulated matter and made this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam stand, the Bhagavad Gita stand. So very artistic it is, beautiful. Because the spirit soul has the ability to manipulate matter. It's a question of manipulating matter for what purpose? As soon as the spirit soul manipulates matter for his own enjoyment, finished. Immediately there is Durga Devi to capture behind and punish him. Just like, you know, a cashier is sitting in the bank and counting money. He says, oh, today a lot of money has come. 4 or 5 lakhs has come. And as soon as he takes some money and inserts in his pocket, immediately he will be caught by the neck from behind. Isn't it? And he will be taken to the police. Immediately. There is arrangement for that. Nobody can misuse. So in this way, as soon as the jiva tries to use the matter for his enjoyment, the very same matter becomes a source of trouble for him. It gives him lots of suffering. Enormous suffering. That's why it is said, one should understand that although the soul is superior to matter, still both the matter and soul are subordinate to one supreme God, Krishna. So one should not forget it. And the God can order the matter. Although you are inferior to the spiritual, you still capture him. So the matter can keep us captured. Prabhupada explains this beautiful example. He explains in this verse, Daivihashakamai, purport if you read. So Prabhupada is asking a question there. If matter is inferior and spirit is superior, then how are we entrapped by matter? You know, matter is inferior and I am superior to matter. And why am I entangled in this material body? The reason is, although matter is inferior, it is working under the divine will. The divine will has ordered the matter to capture us, so we cannot escape. Like a dog capturing a person newly arriving into your gate. Only upon the order of the master, the dog will release him. Release him or capture him, like that. So, the nature of matter also is such that if you study matter, there is no end to studying it. Because matter is also Krishna's energy. It's practically unlimited. Scientists thought at one point of time we will find out the smallest unit of matter, which is atom. And they thought atom is indivisible. But then when they came closer and closer, when they found the atom, and then they found even atom can be split. And there is much more to learn. Inside the atom there is nucleus and protons and neutrons, electrons, everything. Then now they are studying the core of the atoms is nucleus, and there is so much. There is the entire field of nuclear physics. Isn't it? People are doing doctorate on this. And there is so much more to be known. And there is no end only for even studying matter. That's why you find there are many fields of knowledge nowadays. Like for example, they said biology. And then they said, few fields have become combined now, biomedical. There's a biomedical field now. There is also biology combined with biotechnology has come. Biophysics, biochemistry also is there. Biotechnology, see, biology is combined with so many other subjects, isn't it? Similarly, there is physics and computing. So it has got to do with mathematics. It has got combined, you will see that. Many other fields you can talk of. So there is no end only. You can go on. And people doing research, you know, they do their B.Tech and they do their M.Tech and they go for doctorate and they go for postdoctoral fellowship abroad. And you'll find that they zoom on smaller and smaller and smaller details of things. According to Shastra, focusing on more and more minute, smaller details is a sign of ignorance. According to Shastra. Why is it said like that? Because one is supposed to have a bird's eye view of the things. Udaradhi means one should become more and more broad-minded by getting a overall picture of the whole universe. Like for example, Shastras talk about Mahavishnu, whose inhalation and exhalation causes the creation and destruction of the whole universe, which is 3.11 trillion years. You can see how vast knowledge it is talking about. Then it talks about the pralaya, then it talks about kalpa, pralaya, mahakalpa, mahapralaya, which takes place in several millennia. You know, in one day of Brahma, 14 manus come, each of them have 71 millenniums. That is why it teaches you about the vast expanse of the times of the universe. And then when Prabhupada talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says, just recently, 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya appeared, he says. So for one who is a Udaradhi, for him 500 years is like a recent time. But if you see the kind of knowledge that we do in the modern type of research, if you go into the minute, more and more and more and more minute details of things. Like, you know, people researching in one field will not even know what the other people are doing. Like say, I'm a mechanical engineer. In mechanical engineering, I went for machine design. In machine design, I went for finite element modeling. Somebody is doing in boundary element modeling. Somebody is doing some other mathematical modeling. Even those who are doing modeling, there are so many details. And you go more and more minute. Then all over the world, only 7 people are working on one field sometimes. Nobody knows what's going on. So, and also nobody considers the usefulness of the knowledge, as Prabhupada taught that. some time ago we were hearing. No? There is something called as philosophy of science. Some of the universities all over the world have this department now, called philosophy of science. You know what it talks about? Philosophy of science talks about where is science going? Where is it leading us to? What is all this knowledge meant for? Why are we doing what we are doing? Isn't it? Why are we researching what we are researching? There should be some meaning, no? Because if you pick up anything in this world and start researching, you go deeper and deeper and deeper, a new field comes up. Without even questioning about the value of the research, one may spend huge investment. Nowadays there are people asking for research funds. So the universities have started considering, okay, why do they want to do this study or research? Like, you know, one student wanted to research on how to make the bubble long-lasting. That was the whole doctorate thesis on. Just one bubble, how to make long-lasting. So that when you apply the soap, you know, the bubble will float from the top of your head, down your body, up to your leg, up to the feet, and it will not burst until it lands on the ground. The study is how to keep the bubble on throughout. So there are people researching on topics like this. And they spent several lakhs of rupees. Grants. Now universities are thinking now how, whom to give the grant and whom not to give. So when you talk of philosophy of science, what are we doing, why are we doing, where are we going, what is the purpose, usefulness of science. So Prabhupada is talking here, whether you write two big volumes on the topic of grass or not, the cow will peacefully come and eat and go. The cow doesn't need the research thesis that you have produced. Or even if you show it, the cow is not going to understand it. Isn't it? So, Prabhupada is asking, what is the use of the knowledge about that? That's a good question. On the other hand, Prabhupada is inspiring him to ask the question about two things we saw. One is, why am I suffering? Every one of us here, is there anyone here who never got any diseases in your life? Is there anyone here who never got any diseases? Right from birth, Prabhupada, till now, somehow I didn't get any disease. One of you raised the hand. Is there anyone here? See, not one single person here. Everyone gets disease. At any given point of time. Similarly, there is no one who can stop aging. We all are aging, getting old, although we don't want to. Similarly, everyone dies in this world. So these are real problems that Bhagavad Gita explains. Janma mrtyu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha darshana. And it's very personal to each of us. We all see it. We are aging, we are getting old, we are getting diseases. Although scientists are proud of stopping some disease, then instead of that, 5 new diseases come. So we can never eradicate disease per se from the planet. It's an impossibility. And you can confidently say that. And you can see that. Despite all advancement. So it is just a grand illusion to think that, you know, someday we will eradicate diseases. Because Lord Krishna, who is the creator of the world, has given a certificate that his world is Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. And nothing can be more true than Lord's word itself. So, Prabhupada is asking, when you are undergoing this kind of suffering, why don't you ask, why am I suffering? Instead of simply showing curiosity to study about all the things around you, without even knowing who created them, who is the creator of them, what is the use of all the other knowledge? So, studying any knowledge by plucking out God from the picture, studying any knowledge, it is simply a waste of time. That's the main point he is making in this. You see, we can understand that we are not ordinary beings. For example, you take a book. If you take a book and see this, a donkey can see this book. All the things that the donkey can understand is, it's a very nice eatable for me. You can only eat the book. If you ask a scientist what this book is, he will say it's a combination of black ink and paper, from scientific point of view. You can say it's a combination of, some black ink is sprayed on the top of the paper in a certain formation. That's all. You can also give the quality of the paper, what JSON paper it is. But if you read the knowledge in this book, it can arouse emotions in you. And there is also a higher order knowledge which is hidden in this book. By reading this book and contemplating on the meaning, you will see that it gives rise to so many feelings and emotions and transformation of heart, transformation of lifestyle, everything. So it's not just a combination of some ink and paper. So we can understand by this example that we are superior beings, unlike the dead matter. The dead matter is actually made up of atoms and molecules, and the study of the dead matter to any great detail cannot give us understanding about our true nature of Anand. That's why there are five types of knowledge, five forms of knowledge, you see. In Annamaya stage, we only believe in Pratyaksha, which means whatever we can touch and eat, for the Annamaya stage. And then we come to Jnanamaya stage, you also believe in the Paroksha Jnana, knowledge that you learn indirectly. And then Vijnanamaya stage, Aparoksha. And then Anandamaya stage, Adokshaja. And then when the Anandamaya stage, when one reaches the stage of Aishwarya Jnana Shunya Bhakti, that's called Aprakrita, transcendental. This is the fifth stage. These are five forms of knowledge, it is said. Aishwarya Jnana Shunya Bhakti, which means Shuddha Bhakti. Aishwarya and Jnana Shunya means it is not affected by speculative knowledge, and is not affected by the reverence, the Shuddha Bhakti. In that one gets the Aprakrita Jnana. So, we can just study matter and be satisfied, but that is only in Annamaya stage. In Annamaya and Pranamaya stage, one just studies about the matter. In Manomaya stage, one can understand the actions of the mind like psychology, and one can begin metaphysics there. And when one comes to the Vijnanamaya stage, then one understands the soul, spirit. And then when one comes to Anandamaya stage, one knows the super soul and the soul, in the relationship. And being situated in Anandamaya stage and practicing it, then one comes to the ultimate stage of Aishwarya Jnana Shunya Bhakti, which is Shuddha Bhakti. One comes to the platform of pure devotion. So, the knowledge that Dr. Benford is talking is on the lowest platform, study of dead matter, which appears to be very interesting, which appears to be people spend all their entire life studying about dead matter. So, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam, it says. One should have interest to, as it says here, one should know the importance of self-realization. The very first word of the Vedanta Sutra begins with Athato Brahma Jignyasa. Athato can be split as Atha Atha. Atha Atha means therefore. That's the meaning. You will never find a book starting with the word therefore. So anybody knows the reason why this Vedanta Sutra is such a very famous literature, which is the end of the Vedas. And that says, that begins the word therefore. Athata. Because only a human being is going to open that book. Not a dog or a cat will open that book. As soon as a human being opens the book, what is the first word he finds? Now therefore that you have got a human body, you should inquire about spirit soul, Athato Brahma Jignyasa. You should do Brahma Jignyasa. Inquire about the absolute truth. About the soul, about the God, about self-realization. So, Prabhupada gives an example, another beautiful example. I was reading in Mukunda Mala Sutra recently. This example appears in Prabhupada's books, purports on that. He says the study of this material world is like somebody observing an imitation peacock kept on the top of a tree somewhere. Imagine there is an imitation peacock kept. So the Karmis are called as people who are hankering for the peacock. The peacock looks so bluish and beautiful feather on its back, and they see in the top of the tree, they want to immediately capture it. They want to capture it and enjoy with it. But then the Karmis are the ones who are hankering for it, but the Jnanis are those who have already achieved it. They've gone to the top and they are seeing, they're touching and seeing the peacock. It is simply made of wood. It's a toy peacock, imitation peacock, and they are frustrated. So he's saying the Karmis are hankering for it and the Jnanis are frustrated with it. But Bhaktas are the only ones who know it is imitation. So not hankering for the imitation peacock, they get the real peacock, which is like the spiritual world. Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. So, study of matter is like the study of the speaker. No matter how much we study this illusory representation of reality, the material world, that will only make us suffer more. Like you see, Lord Ram is chasing after the Maricha, isn't it? Who appeared in the form of a deer. So, was that of any benefit? Of course, it's a Leela. The Lord is performing the Leela to please the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Sita Mata. But for us, there is another lesson to be learned from that. Because Maricha came in the form of a golden deer, and no one has seen a golden deer in this world. It's an illusion. There cannot be a golden deer. You know, the ears were pinkish, the tails were rosy, and the body was fully having round golden circles. And such a deer, nobody has ever seen that. So it was Maricha who had come in disguise in that way. So Mother Sita wanted it, and Lord Ram chased after it and hunted for it. And you see, ultimately it led to so much suffering. Same way, the chase after the mirage of this world will only end in suffering. That is the conclusion of the Shastra. So such a materialistic people, they consider themselves... This sentence, I think Sasurvas Maharaj writes, I think. He says a very interesting sentence. He says, such materialistic people consider themselves to be the master of the all the relatives who are around them, and they also consider themselves to be the owner of the estate, and owner of all the business and property. Padini says, they are simply servant of the desire and employee of anger, he says. Yeah, simply servant of the desire and employee of anger. It's material world. And then he says, but such service to the desire and anger is neither pensionable nor terminable. He says. Because the desire and anger are such enemies to the human being that there is no end to them. Birth after birth after birth, one goes on serving one's desires like a slave, like a sold out slave. Not just one life, life after life. So, in this material world, study of dead matter or materialistic living only leads to frustration. That's why the Shastra says that one should study about the knowledge of the soul, adhyatma jnana nityatva. That is one of the process of knowledge as Krishna has given. Without studying that, it's coming in the higher pedestal now, you know, beginning with amanityam, adamityam, ahimsa. Now one has to study about the soul. And then the last one talks about the search for the absolute truth, God. Ultimate platform. So, when one does not study about the soul, then one's problems can never be solved. Take the example of Arjuna. In the beginning, Arjuna told one very famous verse. Nahi prapashyami mama apanudhya yachokamachoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatna nirdham rajyam suranam apichadipatyam. He is telling, my dear Krishna, even if I have an unrivaled kingdom, or even if I get the sovereignty of the heaven, I can tell you the kind of frustration and suffering that I am undergoing now. My mouth is dried up and my body is feeling a burning sensation. This frustration can never be circumvented. Even if I achieve the sovereignty of the heaven, or even if I become king of the whole earth, Arjuna is saying, that Prabhupada brings out a very powerful lesson in that purport if you read it. Two lessons Prabhupada teaches there. One, he says there that the supreme absolute truth cannot be fathomed by any amount of scholarship or scholarly attitude. It's not possible. One may be a very big Vedic scholar. One may be very learned. One may memorize many verses. So one cannot fathom the Lord by such knowledge and scholarly aptitude. That Prabhupada quotes his verse. Shakkarma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharadaha avaishnavo guru nasyat vaishnavo shapacho guru. There he says that even if one is shakkarma nipuno vipro, he is expert in the six kinds of karmas, he is a brahmana, he is a vipro. Shakkarma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharada. Visharada means expert. Mantra, tantra, in all of them he is expert. Such a person cannot be a guru, he says. But even a dog eater can become a guru if he is surrendered to the Lord. He is a devotee of the Lord. That's one lesson Prabhupada says. Another lesson he says is, Arjuna is saying here that any amount of economic development cannot bring happiness. He's saying. Like countries like America are replete with comforts and luxuries for man to enjoy. But in those countries we don't find people peaceful and happy. Rather we find more people committing suicides there. Similarly, Arjuna is saying that even if I get the whole world or even the heavens also, still I cannot be happy. Arjuna is saying, that means material life can never make one happy. That's the conclusion. So, happiness doesn't lie in money. Happiness doesn't lie in comforts and luxuries. Happiness doesn't lie in position of being the king of the world. Happiness doesn't lie in scholarship. So, happiness can be attained only by understanding the relationship between soul and God. Nowhere else happiness can be found. That's the conclusion. As you know, Bill Gates earned so much money, now he is saying, I want to give it up in charity. Because there is so much threat for life, even if you have a lot of money. So happiness doesn't come by any of these things. Happiness can come only when you go to the core of your own self, which is the Atma. As long as you are studying the covering, the dead body covering, one can never get any happiness. Just like, you know, you carry a carry bag. The carry bag is not important. What is inside is important. Otherwise, where do you carry it? The body is like a carry bag. What is inside the soul, that's important. But man is not studying that. He is simply studying the external covering. Studying the grass body and the subtle body and wasting his valuable time. As Prabhupada says. And he is trying to make adjustments in the external covering. Which will not help. Unless he understands his real identity. So, it's called as a patch-up solution or superficial solution to the problems of life. And finally Krishna says, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Tattva is absolute truth, Jnana is knowledge. For the object, yeah. Which means, a philosophical search for the absolute truth. For understanding God, the ultimate absolute truth. One should do the research for that. See, Prabhupada, he says in the purport here, as far as self-realization is concerned, it is clearly stated here that Bhakti Yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between super soul and individual soul. No, before that, in the last paragraph, according to Bhagavad Gita, one should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here. And then Prabhupada explains finally, Tattva. What is the Tattva Jnana to Darshana? He quotes this, Vadantita Tattva Vidas Tattva Mijnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabdate. So he's saying, that the ultimate understanding is to reach up to the point of understanding Krishna, who is the Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the last word in the realization of the absolute truth. Therefore, one should reach up to that platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That is perfection of knowledge. So Prabhupada condemns the modern education strongly in Ishopanishad also. There is a verse, Vidyamsa, Vidyamsa, Yastadvedo, Bhayamsa. There Prabhupada condemns very strongly. He is saying, what has the modern education done to the man? Like you see the students of modern education today, like the boys have no respect for the elders. They are not respecting the elders. You all can observe it when you go. And Prabhupada says in one of the second chance purports, he says that in the Vedic times, occasionally a boy may want to smoke or drink, do like that. And if there's an elderly person nearby, he will feel very uneasy. And even if he wants to do something, he will take permission. But today, Prabhupada says how boys or young boys, they have no respect for the grown-up people, the elderly people. So, you know, they say if anybody is above 30 or 40, you know, what they say? You know, they are good for nothing, huh? Never trust anyone above 30. This is the language of the teens in America. So this is the language of the teens. But what about the teenagers? Are they going to remain teenage? Will they not grow beyond 40? Will they not grow beyond 50 or 70?
Mm.
So in youth, there's so much of foolishness, insanity. You can see that. And Baba is saying, even after being educated in the schools, because they are not taught principles of brahmacharya, that is promiscuity. Children in America who are 12 years are begetting children. You can see this kind of promiscuity relationships, illicit relationships. So that is because of lack of education in principles of man-woman dealings between children. Neither do they respect the teachers in America. Like one devotee came recently, he was telling me, in America, parents can never taunt the children. They cannot show a stick to the child. As soon as the children even perceive some trouble from the parents in the form of scolding or something, they can just make a phone call. Immediately the police will come to find the parents, arrest the parents and give them some punishment. So children sue the parents in America. If anybody has lived in America, you can ask them, they'll tell you about this. This is the condition. So there was a very interesting mail that came to me. It was saying about how in America we have been giving lenience to the children and now we are crying. So much lenience we are given that. If parents say something to you, you can sue them. And now we are saying why the children are shooting the teachers, why the children are shooting their own fellow men. Why will they not do it? That is the way the training, modern education training is. It doesn't talk about God, it doesn't talk about the soul. In America they had the slogan, "In God we trust." But gradually they eliminated it now. Because they don't trust in God anymore. So and then gradually they stopped the prayers in the schools, regular prayers. Now I don't know in how many schools we have prayers even in India. In our days, when we were in school days, we used to have a prayer. Every morning you go, there are some prayers for God and also some shloka recitation and the translation. And then you do the pledge, you sing the national anthem and all that, First God and then comes the nation and everything. But Prabhupada is saying now, what has happened in the modern times, in the name of education, the knowledge of God and the soul are eliminated. And the fight between the nations is triggered up in a big way. Even the scientists who claim to have so much knowledge, they all are preparing bombs for their own country. There are bombs in the hands of all the continents now. Because they are bodily conscious. They will produce bombs and missiles and scuds for their own country only, isn't it? So they are going to throw nuclear bombs and kill one another. Anytime they are saying more than one third of the population of the world can be wiped out because of the mutual throwing of bombs over continents. And how did these nations come? This demarcation is done by human being. Like the famous song Rabindranath Tagore wrote, where the world is free from fear, where the knowledge is free, where the world is not broken into fragmental parts by narrow domestic walls. He wrote that poem. So, he is talking of the spiritual world, isn't it? Where the world is free from fear, there is no fear there. Where the knowledge is free, you are full of knowledge. But the world is not broken into fragmental parts by narrow domestic walls. In this world you find everywhere people put a line and say, this is Pakistan, this is India. And they have a border. These borders are all made by human beings only, all these borders. And you make border and then you create your bombs and they will create their bombs. So both of you keep ready to throw whatever another. That's what is happening. World War I took place, World War II took place. And Einstein said if there is at all a third world war, he said, then man will lose all his weapons and everything. Then he'll have to fight only with bows and arrows, or sticks and stones. That's all will be left. So, if the world has come to this position, what is the cause of that? The cause of that is the modern system of education, which eliminates God, which eliminates soul, which eliminates values, which teaches people that your life should be for the survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest means, unless you climb on somebody else's head, you can never reach the top of the ladder of success. You have to push down others. That's why morning they sign peace summits and evening they throw bombs. And the peace summits have no meaning. This is the reason. So, integrity, character, this is not given any importance at all. So, Prabhupada talked about nationalism also. I'll just read one section of it. See how Prabhupada talks right here. Nationalism has developed in different parts of the world due to the cultivation of nations by the general people. No one considers that this tiny earth is just a lump of matter floating in immeasurable space along with many other lumps. In comparison to the vastness of space, these material lumps are like dust particles in the air. Our earth is just like one dust particle if you see the entirety of space. Because God has kindly made these lumps of matter complete in themselves, they are perfectly equipped with all necessities for floating in space. Like you see, although it's like a particle in the entirety of space, still in this so-called particle of earth, there are grains, there are fruits, there are cereals, there are waters, there is air for breathing, there is milk given by the cows. You see, all facilities are there. It's complete in itself, the unit, earth. The drivers of our spaceships may be very proud of their achievements, but they do not consider the supreme driver of these greater, more gigantic spaceships called the planets. The span of human life is scheduled for about 100 years, although it is gradually decreasing, and it will be decreasing to 20 or 30 years. Thanks to the culture of nations, befooled men have created their own nations within this planet in order to grasp sense enjoyment more effectively for these few years. Such foolish people draw various plans to render national demarcations perfectly, a task that is totally impossible. Yet for this purpose, each and every nation has become a source of anxiety for others. More than 50% of the nation's energy is devoted to defense measures and thus spoiled. No one cares for the cultivation of real knowledge. Yet people are falsely proud of being advanced in both material and spiritual knowledge. Sri Ishvarishad wants us of this faulty type of education. And the Bhagavad Gita gives instructions as to the development of real knowledge in these 20 items. In the modern society, even a boy thinks himself self-sufficient and pays no respect to elderly men. Due to wrong type of education being imparted in our universities, boys all over the world are giving their elders headaches. See, the word headache appears to be a simple word. Headache means like, you know, chasing after women, smoking, drinking, drug addiction, or just small headaches for the parents. You can imagine. Thus, the Ishvarishad very strongly wants that the culture of nescience is different from that of knowledge. The universities are, so to speak, centers of nescience only. Consequently, scientists are busy discovering atom bombs to wipe out the existence of other countries. University students today are not given instructions in the regulative principles of brahmacharya, celibate student life, nor do they have any faith in any scriptural injunctions. Religious principles are taught for the sake of name and fame only, and not for the sake of practical action. Like Ganesh Chaturthi, many colleges are celebrating. You go and many places, they keep a Ganesh, they come together, they may clap hands and do something. But religion is done more as a ritual than to transform the hearts of people. Real knowledge is not given. Some empty ritual is there. Thus, there is animosity not only in social and political fields, but in the field of religion as well. Like somebody was asking me, he saw me in the train, and he said, "Sir, I really hate religion, you are telling." I asked, "Why?" He said, "See, there is so much of Hindu-Muslim fight and all." So, thus, religion caused war has been a question of modern man. If you carefully observe, people from different religions, like Islam and Hinduism, they have been deep friends. Even some years ago, just before the freedom struggle, even in Prabhupada's times, you know, Muslims and Hindus, they had great respect for one another. They have been people. Like you see, Akbar, for example, Akbar married a Hindu girl, you know that? Akbar had married a Hindu woman. And he had this Ashtadik Gajas, you know this? They were all Hindus. He had posted them, and he was also appreciating the culture of India so much. Even during the Mughal rule, you will see that. And even, say 50, 60 years ago, even before the freedom, Hindu-Muslims would exchange many things. For example, the Muslims knew that the Hindus won't eat anything that is cooked. So they would give fruits to the Hindus. And the Hindus would give the Muslims sweets. When there is Diwali, the Hindus would give sweets to them. And the Muslims would give fruits on the Ramzan time. In India, they had a culture. Even today, you will find there are Hindu Muslims working in offices. They don't have any enmity. You have seen that? There are many people like that. Why? Because one who understands the real fiber of religion in depth will not have any quarrel at all. If both of them practice their own religions very deeply, there won't be any quarrel. But in the modern times, religion is made the scapegoat to fulfill the nefarious ends of politicians and economic lords. They use this as a means, they use the religion as a scapegoat in order to fulfill that, and then it appears like a religious ploy. If you see that. So true religion, a true religion will never bring about suffering to the people. A true religion is ultimately supposed to bring about happiness. So Prabhupada says, not only in social and political fields, even in religious fields there is misunderstanding because the education is not there. There is no proper education. Like nowadays, Government of India has come up with value education for the school children. That appears attractive, isn't it? Any devotee will hear that and say, it's wonderful. But then they say, what value education you have to give? Dignity of labor. And you have to talk about patriotism. You have to talk about, say, punctuality and a few things. So they say, you teach values but don't bring God. You teach values without God. That's what they are asking. It's like, you know, they want a person without his soul. Then how can a body function? So this goes to show that narrow-minded understanding of what are the values. God is the fountainhead of all the values. Then how can you have the values without God? He's the source of all the values. So, but some other educated men are realizing that spirituality is different from religiosity. Religiosity has got to do with rituals and rites, whereas spirituality is founded on the fundamental principles of all religions, which is underlying all religions, and it is the same. Like all religions talk about God being one supreme, all religions talk about the love of God and the sweetness of God and being humanitarian towards all living beings and not, what do you call it, not committing sin. So they are now coming up gradually with the understanding slowly evolving, but it will take a pretty long time because people are finding out, is there a way to avoid God? That's why here Krishna is concluding this verse here, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Our philosophical search should end in the culmination of all knowledge, which is understanding of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The Prabhupada says the knowledge flows from Amanitvam. See, very strong sentences here. Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. This process is just like a staircase, beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now on this staircase, there are so many people who have reached the first floor, second floor, third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at a lower stage of knowledge. If anyone wants to compete with God and at the same time make advancement in spiritual knowledge, he will be frustrated. It is clearly stated that without humility, understanding is not truly possible. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, I am God, because of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitva, humility. One should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. So Prabhupada says here that there are 20 processes of knowledge given. It begins from amanitvam, then adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantit, arjavam, like that it goes on. And then the last one is tattva jnanartha darshanam. So after understanding the soul, understanding God completely. So we discussed on this topic very elaborately for over the last so many classes because it's considered a very important aspect of the 13th chapter. Even the entire Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada speaks about it in Ishopanishad, you will find in that verse Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantirajam, the Vidyam, Savidyam, so verse. Prabhupada gives this point-wise. Prabhupada is describing that. So these two should be actual pursuit of knowledge. You all know the story of Nachiketa, isn't it? Nachiketa has offered so many things. Yamaraj told Nachiketa. Actually, Nachiketa asked Yamaraj, you are the Lord of death. So I would like to know, please tell me what is beyond death. I have heard that people go to some regions of bliss. What are those things? Please tell me more. I want to know more. And Yamaraj said, oh, this question has been asked even by the gods of the yore. Even they could not know the answer to this question. Please relieve me from this question. Ask me any other boon. And Nachiketa said, no, you are the Lord of Death. I am sure you will be knowing the answer. You only can answer this question. And who can be a better teacher than you? You please tell me about this. Then Yamaraj wanted to divert attention of Nachiketa. He told him, I'll give you horses and elephants and chariots and gold and silver, and I'll give you vast expanses of land, and you can be a ruler of earth, and you can have 100 sons, and you can enjoy your life with all of them, with all these pleasures. But Nachiketa, please do not ask me any other boon. Ask me something within this. And then he said, if you want to ask for anything within this world of mortals, however hard to obtain, I am ready to provide you. Ask me. Then Nachiketa thought for a while and he said, what is the use of all this horses and maidens and dancing girls and the elephants and, you know, gold and silver and all these things? Oh Yama, with you inside, can anyone enjoy these things? Not only that, all the pleasures, they come to pass in this world. And while enjoying the pleasures of this world, they make the senses weak. In this way, the pleasures also pass away, the senses also become weak, and one becomes fragile and old. And how can one be happy in this world? And he said, I am not at all after any of these things. I don't want any of this. I only will ask you the same question. What is death and what is beyond? Tell me that. Now, Yamaraj understood, this fellow is a tough nut. He is not going to, you know, leave me without answer to this question. It's not that Yamaraj doesn't know. He is one of the 12 Mahajans. Why will he not know? But he wanted to test Nachiketa. And then when he told Nachiketa, okay Nachiketa, you have asked this question, I am telling you. There is a path of flickering pleasure and there is a path of eternal bliss. Those people who are truly wise, they take to the path of bliss. And then by their sincere hard efforts in attaining God, they ultimately reach the regions of bliss, spiritual world. And those who take to the path of flickering pleasure, they go on struggling in this world, endeavoring for happiness, and they find no end, he says. They find no end after wandering all over the globe. They never find any happiness. And that is the time Yamaraj explains about this example of chariot of the body. You know, the soul is like a passenger and the driver is like the intelligence. You know, and the ropes are like the mind and the horses are like the 5 senses. So he explains all these wonderful things. So, just like Nachiketa was bent upon understanding the destination of the soul, Tattva Jnana Artha Darshanam, every individual's duty is to develop a great eagerness to attain the spiritual world. When Prabhupada talks on that verse, Narad Bhasiti Suryo Nashashanko Na Pavakah, that Prabhupada writes, one should be captivated by this information, Prabhupada says, about the spiritual world. Lord is mercifully giving. Here is the information about spiritual world. Those who attain the spiritual world, yadgatva anivartante tadhama paramam mama. So, one should develop a great enthusiasm for the knowledge about soul, God and the relationship that exists between them. Then there is perfection of knowledge. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.